Hey there, friends who have been bitten by the automotive enthusiast bug, no matter where you live. It just happened. You turned on yet another...
another Binage episode of V8 Radio, Kevin.
Binage?
That's right, man. We're getting bougie on this show with Binage.
And because there's two of us, is this a Binage day?
And we just lost 100 listeners with that one.
Oh, man, that's all of them.
Yeah, we're all done.
And we owe 98 more.
We're in the hole. Yeah. Binage means witty or humorous conversation.
Oh, you got to lie to them right out of the box.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, got to hook them quick.
All right. Well, I'm your host, Kevin Ostie, and this is the V8 Radio Podcast, joined, as always, by our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike Hubal Clark, who is having a Binage time today.
Amen to that, brother. Having a great time.
Does Binage also mean great?
It can, if you like.
In this case, it sure does.
Absolutely.
Right on. Well, cool. And we've got some long-standing traditions on this show.
Uh-huh.
there's the nonsense. There's the occasional automotive thing.
Yeah.
And of course the trivia question.
The trivia. Come for the nonsense, stay for the trivia.
That's right. It's like there was a restaurant commercial when I grew up that had something very similar in their tagline, but it wasn't nonsense and trivia. Come for the food, stay for the fun, I think is what it was. And you can do that too.
Amen. Let's do it.
All right, so have you, in fact, prepared a trivia question?
I have, in fact, prepared a trivia question, sir. So here we go. All right, Kevin. You know, Buick was pretty famous for putting engine call-outs, engine call-out decals on the air cleaners of their cars back in the 60s and 70s. But Pontiac was not, with the GTO especially. However, there was a time when the GTO had an engine call-out decal on its air cleaner lid. And can you tell me what year or years that occurred? And for the bonus, what was the engine?
So by call-out, you mean like name and number or size or engine characteristic?
Correct.
On a Pontiac. And I think you got me a little excited when you were using Buick as a demo.
Uh-huh. Well, they're big for that.
There's a great trivia question there that I'm not going to reveal because I'm going to put that in my on the wheel of questions.
Great. The wheel of death is what it really is.
It ain't that bad. Okay, well, I'm going to venture a guess. I'm going to say you will find an engine call out on the air cleaner of a 1971 Pontiac Firebird if you ordered the 455 HO engine.
If you ordered the 455 HO.
Yeah.
That sounds menacing. The HO, I love it.
Yeah. You got kind of a GTO HO now. Mofo.
Nice. Nice. Nicely done. You know it. HO mofo. Jeez. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Maybe you can get that label made.
And I'm gonna put it on my air cleaner.
That's it. That'll be a trivia question.
Yep. Okay, right, so is that your final answer? 71 Firebird, if you order the 455 HO.
Yeah, that's my final answer.
All right. We'll find out at the end of the show. And we have been duly noted.
Yeah, and I'm, as I think about this, it would have to be a formula. You know, because the other ones had shakers.
Right, that's right.
So.
Well, you didn't say Trans Am.
I did not say Trans Am. That's why I said Firebird. But I might also wager to say a GTO, probably that same era, 71.
Okay. I can amend your answer.
I think 71's the year for that.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know why.
All right. Good stuff.
I could be wrong.
Well,
you could. You really? On this show? Okay.
Go on.
All right. I will let you spin the wheel of trivia questions again because I've got five to choose from.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah, they're all over the place. So
I'll take question. I'll split it right in the middle and say question 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Question number two.
Number two. Okay.
Door number two, sir.
I think this is the easiest of all of them, so good pick.
Oh, so I'm guaranteed to get it wrong.
I don't know. All right. A Parkwood, a Brookwood, and a Kingswood are all examples of what?
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, they all walk into a bar.
A Parkwood, a Brookwood, and a what?
Kingswood.
Kingswood. Are all examples are of what?
That's correct.
Different types of wood.
Well, you know, is that your final answer?
Yeah, absolutely not. Okay, those, sir, are examples of station wagons.
Station wagons.
And I will say, to be more specific, I'll say Buick station wagons.
Ooh. The man has Buick on the brain.
I do.
Good for you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Buick station wagons. All right. Is that your final answer?
Yeah, short and sweet to the point.
Okay. Bam.
Boom, bala, bing.
We will find out later on in the show. So there's been quite a bit going on recently, which is cool. Very excited. You've got stories to tell. I got stories to tell. There's a couple things I want to touch on before we dive right in.
Sure.
We've got a shout out to your buddy Bruce in the Shire.
Yeah, Formula Bruce on the Performance Years forums. He sent me a nice note. He said that he said congratulations on getting the goat back on the road, and he said he swiped the MP3 of the GTO sound that you hear on the outro of the podcast. He swiped that as his ringtone.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very creative. It's much better than having a ringtone of, you know, one of us losing.
Yeah, right.
So that's very cool.
Yes.
Bruce, the another Pontiac enthusiast and a listener, we appreciate you tuning in and then and taking that. That's yours for the taking.
Absolutely. And anybody else who wants it.
That's right. No rights issues with us.
Mm-hmm. And that, just so you know, little insider information, that sound may be updated here real soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Right on.
I hope that sound is coupled with a little tire squeal in the background.
Now that would be something.
Yeah, it would be. That's you need to get another phone, Bruce.
Yeah, right.
That's more than just ringtone worthy. You got to upgrade the whole thing when that hits.
No doubt.
Yeah, right on. All right, cool. So I wanted to thank him and thank everybody for tuning in who does. And we get little notes here and there, but that one was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, it was nice. And thanks again, Bruce, for reaching out. I actually have a couple of shout-outs I want to give as well.
Go for it.
Number one, my stepdad, Bill DeRoche. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday, I'll just say today.
Today, yeah, we're recording this on July 7th, and today is his birthday.
Whatever day it is that you're listening,
yeah,
it's his birthday.
It's his birthday. That's cool. So that was cool. Also, one more thing.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. My wife, Jenny, brought to my attention. She's kind of made a friendship of this woman who they're on some Facebook groups together. She's in England. And it turns out her son, whose name is Mason Whitehouse, out in the UK, is a fan of the show, and he listens to the show.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's a young 17-year-old kid. He's a real petrol head, according to his mom, Tracy, right, and dad, Rob. So, again, thank you, Mason, for listening. We certainly appreciate the enthusiasm.
Yeah, very cool, Mason. Now, was Mason a fan before, or is it because his mom knows your wife?
I think it just happened organically because I think my wife mentioned, or she found out somehow, Tracy found out somehow that I did the podcast. Either my wife may have mentioned it, and happens to be that her son is a big fan.
Wow. Well, fantastic. Yeah. And I'm just so excited to hear we have a big fan.
Oh, yeah. Huge fan.
Yeah. All right, Mason. Well, appreciate that. And carry on the muscle car and performance car tradition in the UK. We have lots of friends over there. So very cool. And I heard from two of our friends in Australia today.
Oh, right on.
As a matter of fact. One gentleman named David Clark.
Oh.
And yeah, I know.
You don't get much cooler than that.
Well, he does spell it differently.
Oh, sorry, Dave. We don't own you now.
Yeah. Well, Dave contacted us about helping him find a car a while ago. And I apologize because we apparently never got back to him.
Oh, no.
And I had to do some digging to find out why, because we're usually really, really good about getting back to people. We've got an automated online system at v8speedshop.com. And if somebody's got something they want done to their car, they fill out a form, and then we get the information. Well, Mr. Clark is like the only one ever who was able to circumvent the date field on that form.
Oh, really?
So he submitted it without submitting a date. And that means it went to the bottom of the stack.
So it never triggered the automation. Okay.
Yes. So we never saw it. So I felt terrible because we released a video today about that 67 Chevy 2 Nova.
Chevy 2. Yeah, beautiful butternut yellow car.
Mm. Yeah. Very, very cool car. And really enjoyed that car. And he wants to get one for himself. And he said, hey, are there any in the U.S. that, I might be able to take back to Australia? But he starts his email with, I've been trying to write you guys for a long time. I guess I'll just try again. And I was like, oh, man. So.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that, Mr. Clark.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I'm answering for him. I'm used to hearing that so much.
Well, but our other quick Australian shout-out goes to our buddy Grizz Fleming. And Grizz is the very large gentleman who's named after a grizzly bear, his nickname.
Nice.
Who came to Chicago for the Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals.
Ooh.
And we met in person in Chicago many years ago. And we actually found a Buick for him that we ended up sending to Australia. A 71 GS455 Stage 1 car that he loves. And, you know, every once in a while I'll get flack from people saying, hey, you're taking all of our cool muscle cars and shipping them to other places. Oh. And I'll tell you what. Sending cars to Australia is, in my opinion, doing a good service to the car because the people love them there.
Yes.
And they get used and they get appreciated, you know, as opposed to sitting in a garage here, you know. So
yeah,
I do not have any guilt about sending cars to Australia because a lot of them go back and forth.
Oh, true.
They'll come back here at some point. Who knows?
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, you also mentioned that young Mason is 17. Mm-hmm. Just the other day, we had you're going to like this one. We had a young gentleman out in front of our shop, right? So this car pulls up. There's a woman driving, dog in the back seat, SUV. Mm-hmm. And this kid jumps out. And he's a kid. You know, he's little short, blonde-haired, glasses. He's got a soccer shirt on. You know, he probably weighs 80 pounds. You know, he's a young kid.
Right.
And he's taking pictures of all the cars parked out in front of the shop. Because when the weather is warm out, you know, we like to make room in the shop by getting things outside. And,
sure,
you know, they're fun for people to see when they go by. And Trevor comes into my office and says, do you have time to give a tour to a very enthusiastic kid? I said, of course, man. So I went out and introduced myself. And this young gentleman is named Drew. And I said, hi, Drew. How are you? And he said, I'm good. I'm good. And he points to a black 78 Trans Am. And he said, is that a Bandit Trans Am? And I said, well, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to tell him it was a Y98 SE car, but
right.
Bandit works, you know.
Yes.
So he was all jazzed about that, and I said, "Well, let's take a walk through the shop." So I show him a 57 Chevy on a lift, and he's like, "Oh yeah, cool." And we have a 70 Olds Rally 350 car in the shop.
Ooh, nice. One. Yeah.
Yeah, they're neat. And he's like, "Oh yeah, there's something kind of like that in Fast and Furious." So immediately I'm going, well, maybe Drew needs a little guidance.
Maybe.
But he's enthusiastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, all right, we go around the corner, and there's a 66 GTO that we're working on. In fact, that we put a one of the new Tremec TKX 5-speeds in.
Oh, yeah.
Video to come. And he says, "Oh, yeah, GTO." And I said, "Yeah, right on." And he said, "You know what GTO stands for?" I said, "What?" He says, "Gran Turismo Amalgamato."
I'm whoa. Like,
holy smokes. Whoa. 8-year-old Drew just totally killed it. So that was really awesome. It was great to hear. And then he got another one. He's like, Plymouth Roadrunner. Or, you know, he said, you know, RT means you know, road track also. And it's like, you got that
Drew.
Right. So little Drew is welcome anytime in our shop. He's going to be
nice.
I went back out to the car and introduced myself to the woman that was driving, who I believe was, I don't know, caretaker, somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was his family. And I was appreciative that in our little town of Red Bud, Illinois, where the shop is, people are comfortable just pulling up and saying, "Here, kid, go walk through that place." You know, right?
Yeah.
And I introduced myself after I gave this young gentleman a tour, as opposed to having to, you know, fill out a form and get a background check,
right.
DNA samples,
get
you know,
fingerprinted, yeah, all that right, stuff, yeah,
right, right. So small town America, and our little buddy Drew. So that was cool, and he knew what GTO meant.
I love this kid. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
I'll get you his picture.
Good.
But speaking of GTOs,
You know of another one?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, crazy. Yeah, the GTO is home, man.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's home. I've been doing some tweaking here and there on it. Trying to fix some leaks. I've been driving it. Been loving it. Been almost every morning I go out, when I go to work, start it up for a minute just to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure your neighbors are real happy.
It's not that early in the morning. They should be up anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know a couple of them really like it, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you drove it home, and that was kind of the pucker factor, watching the gauges and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get it home, and then you developed an issue.
I did. It was a Tuesday morning. I was going to bring it to work, because Tuesdays I live in the little town called Plainfield, Illinois. And Tuesday nights, we have our cruise nights in the downtown area. And it's wildly popular. The whole downtown area is packed with cool cars. So I start the car up. I back it out of the driveway. I begin to accelerate. And there's a pronounced stutter. And it seems like some weird ignition problem. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm thinking maybe it's a little cold-blooded. Maybe it's got to kind of get some gas in it and work through it.
Choke problem or something.
Yeah, exactly. And no matter how much gas I gave, I couldn't climb above 1800 RPM. And like, this is just not right. And it's breaking up, and it's the whole engine, it feels like it's stuttering and shaking. I'm like, I'm not driving this car like this. So
no,
I turn it around, put it back in the driveway or in the garage, shut it down. I go to work. I come, you know, try to figure out what's going on with it. I talked to you about
probably it. Probably a very productive day at work, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. What can this be?
Consumed by ignition diagnostics.
Yeah. Sorry, boss. I can't work on any projects today. I got car problems.
Yeah.
So, so I talked to you about it. Talked to a few other people. I was trying to, you know, maybe to look at some internet forums, but nothing was really helping.
So that's an MSD ready to run Pro Billet distributor. Yeah.
Correct. And with the Blaster 2 coil.
Right. And you've had that thing. So this is the first time that coil, or that both of them have actually been used, right? They didn't run in the engine before.
That's correct. They
so
had 50 miles on them.
But brand new, but not chronologically brand new. They've been sitting around.
Correct. Yeah, they've been sitting around for maybe a year.
A year. Well, a year's not too bad.
Yeah.
But my thought initially, and you had brought it up, like, did the pickup coil, you know, or the module inside this thing go bad?
Mm-hmm.
And many years ago, we had a guy with a 69 Camaro who ruined a brand new distributor because it corroded under the cap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was never, he didn't really use it. And we later learned that, you know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And I'm like, this guy never drives his car, you know, and the part's brand new. What's the problem? Well, he washed it a lot. And he was one of those engine washer guys.
Ugh.
So he got enough moisture under the cap to nuke the board. It was an MSD digital E-curve distributor. It's got a mainframe computer under the cap, for crying out loud.
Good heavens.
And it was smoked. So in your case, I'm thinking, well, a year of being stored in the garage, that's probably not a corrosion thing. But stranger things have happened. You know,
right.
Something could fail.
Yeah, I mean, it was always inside the house and in the box. So it was never really in any kind of extreme environment.
Yeah.
So then we kind of thought we're doing some troubleshooting. Even had Trevor. He took some time out of his day and he talked to me in his own time. And we were doing some troubleshooting over the phone, checking grounds, checking the output of the alternator. Found out that the alternator was putting out a little too many volts, mm-hmm. about 15.9. I'm like, you know, that's a little bit much. Ended up replacing the regulator. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought maybe that high voltage did some problems. And
I gave you a whole bunch of crap about not having enough grounds in the car.
Yeah, and I corrected that. All right.
Yeah, well, the interesting one is you had the ground from the distributor on the coil bracket. And I thought, that to me seems like a source of interference noise.
Some EMI.
Yeah, and that could have, you know, all these things could have been, right?
Right. Correct. They could have.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, long story short, we kind of settled on replacing the magnetic pickup in the distributor. So you ordered one for me, got it sent to the house. I then tried to figure out how to install this thing. And I thought it was going to be, you know, easy, silly me.
Yeah,
because the directions that come with it are vague at best.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up finding a MSD forum on Holley.com. Mm. And a Holley tech said, these are the steps you need to do to replace this pickup.
Nice.
You know, yeah, and the steps were fantastic. I had to gut this entire distributor to do it. And I had to brush up on my soldering skills again.
Oh, boy.
Because this pickup is soldered onto the board that's underneath the rotor.
Mm.
I'm like, okay. So I desoldered it, pulled it out, put the new pickup on, cut the wires to length, stripped a little bit, tinned them, mm-hmm. Got them back in the holes, got some solder back on there at the right length, put it all back together, and doing all the trying to follow the directions that the paper that came with the magnetic pickup had. And it says, put a bead of silicone on the back and place it in the rotor and then mm-hmm. let it dry. So I said, sure. So that's the first thing I did. I put some silicone on there. I placed it in there. I screwed it down, put the whole distributor together. And then the reluctor is hitting the magnetic pickup.
Oh,
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What the heck is this? And so I thought, I mean, did I get the right pickup? So I take my calipers out and I'm measuring the old pickup and the new pickup. I'm like, they're spot on. To the thousandths of an inch.
Was it the glob of silicone?
Well, what it was, we're getting to that. Apparently, the directions that were supplied with that were not really good directions at all. I went back, found my Holley forums. Another tech says, okay, here's what you have to do. Loosely bolt that pickup in place. Put your feeler gauge between the reluctor wheel because there's a little bit of play there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, between 18 and 33 thousandths mm-hmm. is what the spec was. I got it right at 25. So I got it there. Then I tightened it down. Then get some silicone in the gap that's between the backing plate and the magnetic pickup itself. So that's exactly what I did. And once I did that, everything was perfect.
It cleared. Yeah. That's a tricky thing to do. I think the last time I did that was when I put the Petronix igniter in the Riviera distributor. And in the video, we actually showed how you set the clearance on that thing, because it's got it's got to be right, or it'll either hit or the other way, and it won't work. So
right, yeah, but it should be spot on. And once I got everything together that night, and then I stabbed the distributor back in there and let it set for the rest of the night to let the silicone set up. And then the next day, I fired it up and it ran. I fired it up. I found out I was a tooth off on the distributor. I was like a tooth too retarded. So I corrected that. I get it all back together and start it up, hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. And it's stuttering again at 1800 RPM.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, I can't win here.
You must have been pulling, well, not pulling your hair out, but your beard hair, man.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was really driving me crazy. So I got you on the horn. We're texting back and forth. You were giving me things to check, checking the grounds.
We were talking about timing at that point too. Like, cause to me over the phone, it sounded like maybe it was advancing way too early. Like you had like a super light spring or something.
Right. And I did change the springs that were on there from stock, from out of the box, because they used two heavy springs right out of the gate, which would put my full advance at like 5,500 RPM, which is way beyond where this engine is going to live. So
earlier than that.
Yeah. So the curve I put in, it puts everything all in at about 3,000, 3,200 RPM, which may be a bit soon, but.
Well, it wasn't 1,800.
Correct. It wasn't 1,800. Exactly. So it was really, you know, baking my noodle as to what it could be. So I had you on the horn. You're giving me things to check. I did make sure that I put an extra ground on there, like you said, because I listen. And I did that, and it still wasn't doing any better. I checked the voltage. I replaced the regulator. My voltage was at 14.3, which is, you know, spot on, right where we want it. Mm. You know, at that point, I was out of ideas, and then it hit me. I texted you and I said, "Do you think that could be a rev limiter going on in there?" And you said, "I don't know. Does it have one?" I says, I think it does. I think I remember reading about that when I first got this distributor. I was, you know, looking at everything and checking everything out. So I grabbed the directions, and lo and behold.
Yeah, step one.
Step one, read the directions. I moved that to step 12.
Yeah.
But... So, sure enough, there is a rev limiter function on this MSD ready-to-run Pro Billet distributor.
You go.
Like, what are the odds that it's somehow spontaneously engaged?
Right, because on the way home, when you first drove it, it didn't do it.
Correct. It ran great. Are you kidding me? Ugh. I could barely keep my foot out of it. So, I grabbed Jenny. It's about 9:30 at night. I said, listen, I need your help. Hear me out. You're not going to get dirty. So, but I need you out in the garage. So I told her what I need to do. I read the directions. There's an interface cable that MSD includes with that distributor, where you plug it between the tack lead coming from the distributor to the lead going to the tachometer. And then it's like a Y connection. And on the other end, you strip a little wire. You take it to half the RPM that you want your limit to be. And you then ground that tack lead. The tack needle then goes to zero, then shoots up to the limit RPM, and then settles back down to wherever you are. So I told her this is what I need her to look for. And I got up under the hood. I connected the cable. I kind of revved it up to where the limit was. I grounded the lead. I let it go. I asked her, did everything happen the way it's supposed to? She says, yes. I said, okay, good. Hang on. So I got the throttle on the carburetor. I revved it. Holy cow, it revved freely.
Way
past 1,800. I said, you got to be kidding me, man. Nice. How did this happen? So at that point, I had her rev it to 3,000 because I wanted to set the limit. Mm-hmm. I set the limit to 6,000. I had her rev it to 3. I regrounded the wire. It did its thing. I said, perfect. I had her shut it down. I disconnected the lead. And then I realized how this happened in the first place. The tack lead coming from the distributor is like a shielded kind of a spade connector. My tack wire is not. It's just a bare spade connector. So I plugged it in. So there was just a little bit of metal there that somehow just through wiggling around, grounded itself on something and set that rev limit.
That's a crazy one. So just that wire swinging around, touches something, sets the rev limiter.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that setup is really tricked the way that works. If you know what to do, that's pretty neat.
Sure.
You can just rev the thing up, to half, hit the, I suppose you could put a switch on it. That's
right.
And then go from there. But imagine if that would have happened while you were driving.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be nuts?
So if
here's the thing. Because if I was driving, say I was at, 2,500 and it happened, that would have set my limit to 5,000 and I wouldn't have known.
But what if you were at a stoplight?
Well, that's probably what happened.
And you're idling at 750.
Yeah. Yeah. Then 1,500 is where I'm going to be.
So that probably is what happened.
It may have happened either when I was parking it that the day before or the weekend before or when I first started it to leave to go take it to work on that Tuesday. It may have just momentarily grounded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows when it happened, but we sure as heck know it happened.
Right.
So, in the meantime, I've taped up that connection until I get a proper connector on there so it looks a little bit better.
Yes, good. We don't need that thing resetting.
No, we don't. But if it does, I'll know exactly what to look at.
Well, so now you could do the rest of the world a solid and share that experience back on that MSD forum.
Yeah, I sure can.
Maybe type that up.
I think I will. Good idea.
Somebody else is pulling their beard hair out right now. They're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, they're screaming for a warranty repair and MSD's
putting
like
in
this
new pickup coil.
Oh, new magnetic pickup! Holy cow! That was an experience.
Their soldering skills.
Yeah, that was an experience. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Well, good heavens!
It was a little bit enjoyable. You have to admit you were doing something.
It was kind of fun. It was neat to really get in there and do some soldering and really, really blow that thing apart. Better yet, be able to get it back together and have it still work. That was a really cool part.
it was going to be a lot more fun if it would have had a positive result, but it was hopeful along the way. All right, so it's buttoned up, it runs, and so of course, take it to work, right? Drive it around.
That's right. I took it to work last Friday before the 4th of July weekend. We were only working half a day, and it felt great. The car ran nice. I got a lot of looks, a lot of oohs and ahs, a lot of thumbs up on the way there. I got into the parking lot, and one of the guys I work with happened to pull in right behind me, and he gets out just very animated. He's like, holy cow, it's here. This is amazing. So
nice.
I was giving him a walk around and showing him under the hood and all that. And he was really
like
impressed.
You were like the weird guy with the mystery girlfriend.
Yeah. Holy cow. She does exist.
She's real.
She really does live in Canada. Holy cow.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was a pretty good feeling.
And so that weekend, this past weekend was, as you said, 4th of July weekend. So Kelly and I took a trip north to Wisconsin to see some family of mine and some friends. And on the way home, we rendezvoused to go see the GTO driving because I only saw the video.
Right.
And you and Jenny and Kelly and I met at a restaurant. And sure enough, he threw me the keys. So
yeah,
it was nice. The car drives really well.
Thanks.
It does have, you know, kind of an old car feel in many ways.
Sure.
So specifically the driver's seat is a little, the cushion's a little blown out and it's a little bent, you know.
Yes.
Nothing terrible, but you know, if you're not used to it, it's like a well-worn pair of shoes is kind of how it feels.
That's a perfect observation. Yeah.
And as you mentioned before, you got to get your alignment figured out. And, but as far as the engine's concerned, it makes good power. I didn't lean on this thing. You know, we didn't take it to the drag strip. We drove around, you know, the neighborhood a little bit, but, even with the, as you call it, the soccer mom gear.
Yeah.
it still has great pickup and it feels eager going down the road.
Yes.
The suspension feels pretty good. I would say maybe, I don't know if it's just, it looks like it or it actually is, but it might be a little low in the back.
Yeah, I think it is a little low in the back. It's lower than I'd like it to be.
I don't know if you have stuff in the trunk anymore or.
I do. Yeah, so. There's some stuff in there. Nothing super heavy, just a moving blanket, the car cover, some other odds and ends, but nothing super weighty. But it's that rear end has always kind of sagged a bit after I removed the. It had some blown out air shocks that I removed, and I put KYBs in there, and I replaced the springs, and that's just how it was sent, how it set.
Huh. So you're a lowering spring that is just not as.
I didn't mean it to be a lowering spring.
Right. It doesn't really correspond with the front ride height a little bit. It's not terrible, but it's just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brakes need a little something for sure.
Yes, they do. I mean, they're functional, but I wouldn't want to get into a panic stop situation.
No. And I tried to put it in a text. What I felt was that the pedal seems to go like pretty much all the way to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, it feels like it. It just gets hard. The pedal gets really hard.
Well, does it?
Because there's room. When I bled those brakes, I was the pedal man. Randy was the bleed man.
Bleeder, yeah.
And I did feel about 2 inches of travel when it would go all the way to the floor. So there's pressure there, but it just feels harder than it should. And the pads don't feel like they bite like they should.
Yeah, so I guess maybe the top half of the travel seems almost soft.
Yes, it just seems excessive. The top half seems a little excessive.
Yeah. So I didn't do a full panic stop test because we had everybody in the car, and I don't like to do those in other people's cars anyway. Mm-hmm. But something needs to happen. So I don't know if it's going to be another bleed or...
Mm-hmm.
The master's fairly new, right? When you did the disc brake swap?
Yes. I mean, it's a number of years old, but doesn't have a lot of miles on it.
Yeah.
So, but it was like that from the get-go, ever since I put that kit on.
Right. And we were talking about the combination valve.
Correct.
Does it have one? And
it,
is it working?
It does. I think it's working. I mean, I think I did at one time... That brake light did come on a long time ago. And I think I was low on fluid. Does work.
Because I noticed it was not on, and I thought that was strange. Right. You know, if it was going all the way to the floor, it should have come on, but it didn't. And I don't have any leaks or anything. So so that's good. But, you know, like I was texting you before, that combination valve is a safety thing. And if you get like a leak in a front brake line or something and you step on the brakes, that lower pressure from the leak makes a piston inside that valve go the other way and block off that part of the system. And it focuses all the power on the rears.
What
or
you
the
have
fronts.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen them where that little piston gets stuck in one side or the other.
Mm.
And then you're running on half the brakes.
Yeah.
Or it gives you a weird feel of some sort. So
sure.
I don't know that that's it in your case, because that usually always throws the light on, because that's what it's supposed to. It completes the circuit when the piston goes the other way.
Right.
But yeah, so you got a little homework to do there in the brakes. But,
yeah. You got a few things to chip away at.
But it feels good. It drives really nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm glad you got to get behind the wheel on that. I was hoping that would happen relatively soon. I mean, you've been a big part of why... this all came together with your generosity and your knowledge and your encouragement and everything. So I was happy to throw the keys your way.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, the other thing that I had to say was that my test drive was four people in the car also.
That's true. You had a four-person test.
Yeah, it probably feels quite a bit different when it's just you in the car.
There's a lot of torque in that motor. Yeah. There's a lot. It's pretty cool. I had a, well, like when I took it to work, my manager was actually walking out as I was driving off, and he's good natured, like giving me some guff. He's like, that thing can't do anything. So I had to show him what it can do. So the single tire fire erupted right in front of him. Nice. And enveloped him in some smoke. So
good.
So take that, Greg.
There you go, Greg. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be more than just a parade cruiser.
Yes.
You're going to put some miles on it and enjoy it. So that's great. You're almost there.
And speaking of like old car stuff, I keep waiting for the overdrive to kick in that never kicks in. So with the Turbo 400, I'm like, come on, where's my extra gear? I need this.
Well, if you had like a 355 gear or something, you'd really notice it.
But oh yeah.
Just having that rear gear you have, I wasn't really looking. I mean, I wasn't out on the highway either.
It's just being in something that's like either a 4-speed automatic or like the Suburban, which is a 6-speed automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at 1500 RPM at, you know, 60 miles an hour. And yeah, in this car, I'm almost 2,500 RPM at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it's a little different.
It is. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Part of the experience. Well, that's really cool.
Thanks.
We're going to have to keep tabs on the, and now it's going to be smaller steps, but still interesting projects.
Yeah. Like I got the electric choke inversion put on, or I fixed the brakes, or, you know, right. I stripped the wheels and redid them, that kind of thing.
Well, it reminds me, here was another cool one that happened over the weekend. So I've got a friend of mine. I hope he doesn't mind if I say his name, but his name is Aaron Madison. And Aaron used to be like a product guy with SK Tools.
Oh, right on.
We used a lot and still do use a lot of SK Tools in our shop. They were very helpful when we were getting going with the V8 Speed and Resto shop. Actually, when I was still back out on the farm before we moved into the building.
Nice.
And Aaron came to visit. He's been to the farm and, you know, we had lunch and everything. And he has since moved on to a different company. But he sent me a message on Thursday night. And he says, hey, he has inherited like a 70, I think it's a 73 Caprice convertible.
Sweet.
So big car.
Yes.
It is a parade car. You know, it's just a big drop top sled. And he loves the car, but he's not, you know, hasn't done a lot of car repair and this kind of stuff in the past. So, he sends me his text, and it's got a picture of his two-barrel carburetor leaking like a sieve.
Oh,
and he's
no.
like, I got a problem because I went to like Jags and Summit, and I can't find a replacement carburetor for this thing. And I'm supposed to be using this on Sunday on the 4th of July in the parade.
Uh-oh.
What do you suggest I can get? And I looked at it, and I said, well, I think it's just a good old-fashioned Rochester 2GC. Call up your auto parts store first thing in the morning tomorrow and see if you can get a rebuild kit, and then jump on the YouTubes.
Yep.
And jump online and see if you can find a quick how-to on how to rebuild one of these carburetors, because they're pretty simple. The kit's going to come with extra parts, so don't freak out. but I got full faith that you can take this thing off and clean it up. I said, get a couple of cans of carb cleaner, get some brake cleaner. You'll have your new gaskets and everything, and just carefully lay it out and put it back together. And it's a good Saturday project. You'll have it done in plenty of time, you know, no problem.
you make me laugh.
well, you know what? He did it.
Did he?
He did it. He bought the kit. He took it all apart. He sent me. He's periodically sending me pictures, you know, throughout the day. And Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, I guess, it's running.
And nice. He's like,
I can't believe it, but I put it all back together and it's running.
How about that?
So he said it didn't run that great, but it wasn't leaking anymore. So okay. It wasn't, you know, a fire hazard. So Sunday was the 4th of July, and he completed his mission. He had two retired veterans in the car and did the 4th of July parade. And if I could see by the picture, one of the gentlemen was a Korean War vet, and the other was a Nam vet. And he said, for whatever reason, the car started running awesome.
Nice.
Sunday morning. So I don't know if it had a piece of something in the fuel filter or whatever.
Maybe.
And he said he was completely blown away by the outpouring of people that were thanking these veterans for their service and showing their respect. And he was just so in awe to be able to, you know, be a little part of that, by
That's
having
killer.
Him in a parade. So
right on,
was
man.
Great. It was a great story.
That's a feel good story. I like that.
Yeah, everything worked. You know, he learned a skill. He made the repair. It actually came together and it happened. It wasn't put the new pickup coil in and it still doesn't run like you and me have.
Yeah. He doesn't have our kind of problems. He had like real good solution problems. Gosh dang it.
Yeah. So that was really cool.
Nice, man.
Yeah. So good job, Aaron.
Great job, Aaron.
Yeah. And it's funny, just my mind is on the Chicago area because we met for lunch. Mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, and I think we talked about it here, I came up and met you in Chicago for a Cubs ball game day at the bar.
Yes.
Drove up and spent the weekend, something that I do it every year, right? Try to. I got a nice letter in the mail from the city of Chicago yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like a really, really nice letter? Or like you being sarcastic?
Oh, man. I open the mailbox and it says City of Chicago.
Oh, jeez.
I don't even know what the return address was, but it was like, you know, DMV and revenue collection. And
oh,
I was like, oh,
one
man,
of those
really?
Letters.
Really? So I open this thing up and it basically says, oh, well, you were at this street and this intersection at this time, and we got you on our cameras in excess of the speed limit, and it was from that trip. But here's the amazing thing. It says, because you've not had one of these infractions before, there is no penalty.
What?
I know. It was a miracle.
That is a miracle coming from the city of Chicago.
I know. A miracle. And they just sent me a little love letter saying, hey, man.
Slow it down.
Yeah, you broke the law, but it's cool. We got this one. Don't worry about it.
This one's on us, bro.
Right. Totally.
You should write them a thank you letter.
I really should because, you know, the last time I opened an envelope like that from the city of Chicago, I owed him $650.
Ooh, wow.
Right.
Zing.
And that was because I parked our pickup truck on the street in an area where you can't park a pickup truck. First of all, I had the wrong license plate.
Oh, good heavens.
And then I thought I was parking in a regular public area, but it was a permit sticker zone only. So what this fine officer did was they wrote me a ticket at like 11:55 p.m. on Friday night and stuck it to the glass. And then they wrote me another one at 12:06 a.m.
Well,
for the same thing.
Just damn nice of them.
Boom.
Oh,
yeah.
My
so
goodness.
I end up with a stack of tickets. And I mean, I obviously knew about them. I couldn't even see out of the truck if I would have left them. They were stuck all over the thing. And then I had to contest all that because I'm like, look, first of all, A, I don't live in your city.
Yeah.
B, if somebody's going to come to your city, where the heck are they going to park? There's nowhere around there, you know, that you can have a pickup truck. Plus the fact that they wrote me twice, you know, just watching.
Right.
They sat there.
Within 20 minutes of each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. And I think I only got that knocked down by like half. So it was still still a thing. So when this envelope came the other day, I'm like, oh no.
Oh man, the PTSD kicks in. Like, oh, what's it going to cost me now?
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. Turns out nothing.
Yeah.
That I've never heard of that happening.
I've never heard of that happening either. I mean, I got to see, like, did one of my jerk buddies fabricate this letter?
We need some forensics, and we need it now.
Right. Like, I actually owe them $1,200.
One of my jerk buddies. Oh, that's good.
Well, there is a story that kind of goes along that lines, and I will change all the names to protect the innocent and not so innocent.
But one not so innocent is more like it.
One night, some people were at an establishment in Chicago, and they'd all driven up in a car, probably five people in a car. They parked the car. Everybody goes into the establishment, and 15 minutes later, one guy comes back out, and he sees that there's a parking ticket on the car next to theirs.
Mm.
So just for fun, he rips the ticket off the other car and puts it on the one that they came in to screw with his buddy.
Oh, man.
So then everybody comes out to get in the car to go home. And the owner of the car is like, oh, man, I got a ticket. This is terrible. And one of the individuals present says, oh, that's nothing, and grabs it and just tears it up in the confetti in the street. So you don't have to worry about that.
Love it.
Because technically it wasn't his. It was a transplant.
Oh my gosh.
And that's a trick that some other nameless people used to do, is if you parked somewhere and somebody else had a ticket on their car, you peel it off and stick it on yours.
Put it on yours so you wouldn't get
another one. Right. So the person was doing the owner a solid by this act of subterfuge with the ticket. It was the ripping up part.
That's nice.
So the individual that actually received the ticket had some splaining to do.
Yeah. I never got a ticket. I swear to God, I never got one.
No idea what you're talking about.
Absolutely not. Prove it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. Well, this is cool. It was good to hear that the GTO is back in order, and it was a good weekend for car stuff all the way around. So
yeah, it was good. I just want to take a quick second here to thank a few people who were involved in this project. First and foremost, my good buddy Randy Burge, who just went above and beyond to make sure that this thing came together, and came together nicely and with great quality and clean and just way nicer than I could have ever done it.
Yeah. And Randy, I owe you $6 for resetting that rev limiter.
Mr. Rob Veneziano, he let us use his facilities to do some sandblasting with some parts at whenever we needed it, which is great. Randy's neighbor Scott Trzezinski, who would come around and kind of see what's going on and offer some words of encouragement, and other times keep his mouth closed when he had nothing nice to say. That's just nice.
Yeah, he, that dude's a character.
Yeah, he is. But he let Randy put his Corvette in his garage to make room for the GTO when it was out there. So that was nice of him too. So I appreciate that. My good friend and neighbor, Mr. Robert Borger, he came out. He came out to Randy's and got his knuckles dirty and did some work with us, trying to put that engine in.
And just being awakened every morning as you do your fire up.
Yep. And he is, and let me tell you, he's very happy about it. He has just been, you know, a great cheerleader the whole way, and just has been as excited as anybody else with this. So thank you, Robert. Mr. Ray Romito, who did excellent machine work on this block. He just, nothing was wrong with it. Everything was perfect and to spec. And Mr. Eric Van Berkum for making some really great heads for me. So he machined those 6X heads, ported them, got some great valves in them. They run great. Everything's beautiful with them. Our good friends at Ames Performance for having every part I need to in my quest to make that underhood look factory correct. Got to thank Trevor for giving up some of his time to help me troubleshoot that ignition problem. And then, of course, you and Kelly, who have been, you know, nonstop throughout this whole process, and Kelly getting involved to get that block back when it was in machine shop purgatory and all that good stuff, and just never, never letting me quit. Never, ever letting me quit.
No. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So both of you have been amazing throughout this whole process. So I can't thank either one of you enough.
Well, you know, you're welcome. It's it was our pleasure. And she enjoyed the ride the other day and hanging out with you and Jenny and digs the car. It was funny because we're on our way home and I'm like, yeah, we're going to take a little pit stop.
Again?
Well, first we went to the Bass Pro Shop because she had to replace a fishing pole that got lost on a fishing excursion over the weekend. Sank. You'd think fishing poles would float, you know?
They really should.
Yeah, but they don't. And I said, we got one more little pit stop. And I said, we're going to go take the GTO for a spin. And she's like, oh, yeah, awesome. You know?
Oh, good.
Like, oh, really? No, she was totally excited about it. So
oh,
cool.
Great. Yay. Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, heck yeah. I'm so glad.
Oh, I am. I'm beyond glad. It's there were a lot of times when I just completely lost faith that this would ever come to fruition. But yep. It finally did.
And that's the moral of the story, friends.
Yeah. Never give up.
Never give up. Just keep it moving somehow.
It may take a little longer than you anticipated, but you keep working toward it, it'll happen.
My parallel universe never give up story is this week, finally, for the first time since 1993, our 62 Ford Galaxy has a full set of correct headlight rings. Headlight trim rings.
Nice.
Because there's all four are different. And my dad wrecked this car back in 93 and smashed all the original ones.
Oh, boy.
And we've been piecemeal collecting individual left, inner, right, inner, left, outer, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've got a giant stack and I never had all four.
So oh,
I got
boy.
Like nine of the one and six of the other. And
oh, I see.
And if you force them, you can kind of get them to stick on the car, but then it looks goofy. One of the eyes is looking up in the air, you know.
Yeah, like you don't want to do that.
You're driving Marty Feldman around. So after many, many years, I finally found a set on eBay, and the guy selling them was very, very gracious. Get this. I bought the stuff on eBay, and he told me later that he missed the pickup for the post office. So he threw a 20 in the box and sent it back to me with like the shipping paid for. Here you go. Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is great.
So I honestly believe because these things are so hard to find. They're a 1 year only thing. They're not reproduced. And every one of the outside sets got destroyed because people would smash into their garage. Whatever. But a little perseverance, man. And finally I have a set of headlight rings on the car. It's nowhere near as dramatic as, you know, an engine build, but it's a big thing, you know? It's like,
well, sure.
Just a weird little piece of stress is gone and a little bit of satisfaction. I go, look at that. It's coming back together.
Perfect. Perfect. I got to thank one more person here.
Mm-hmm.
And how did I forget this? I'm terrible. My phenomenal wife, Jenny, who just let me do what I wanted to do with this car. When the time was right, she was, you know, behind me 100% and was always encouraging me. So thank you, Jenny. I love you dearly. You're the best. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think by any stretch you forgot her. I think that she's probably just always on your mind.
Right. Well, she is. But and I always, you know, thank her in person and all that. But I wanted to take the opportunity to thank her on the show and let everybody else know.
Good move.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I know that people are banging their forks on the table, so we're hungry for the answer to these trivia questions. So what do you got?
All right. So, Kevin, I asked you, let me get to it here. What did I say what year GTO or what year Pontiac when I asked the question?
You said Pontiac.
I apologize. I meant to say GTO.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. So what year? I said what year Pontiac. I meant what year GTO had the proper engine call out on the air cleaner lid. And bonus, what was the engine? And you said 71 Firebird. And then you said or GTO if you order the 455HO. And I'm going to give it to you because it was a 71 and 72 GTO with the 455HO. So congratulations.
Perfect.
You are a winner, sir.
Hey, hopefully.
Write it down, Yardley.
Start a streak. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't say all the years. You just said what?
I said what year or years.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
It's all right. But yeah, no, that works for me. That's a winner question.
Awesome.
A winner answer, I should say.
And it's an interesting looking sticker, too.
It is. It's really cool looking.
The middle kind of flattens out. And it's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it wraps look around it the lid.
Right. Look it up on the Googles. okay, your question was, a Parkwood, a Brookwood, and a Kingswood are all examples of what? And you said different types of wood. To which you backtracked and said, no, they're station wagons. In fact, they are all Buick station wagons.
Yeah, I did say that.
So close. I'm going to give it to you because they are station wagons.
Are they?
They're all Chevrolets.
No way. Well, yeah, this is part of the General Motors family.
That's why you got it.
All right. Thanks, man. Right on.
We both win.
We're both winners. Hey.
Everybody's a winner, man. The car runs. We got the trivia question. I got headlight rings. I got a free ticket from the city of Chicago.
Free ticket. That's the huge thing right there. That's the big news.
This is going nowhere but up.
Oh, nobody can stop us now. Nobody.
That's right. And now I have to, I got to go to sleep because I got to be on an airplane at 4:45 tomorrow morning.
Holy cats.
To go to Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania for the four-wheel jamboree.
Awesome.
It is.
Now, you did that last year too, correct? Or
I did. This will be my third year doing it.
Nice.
First year I shot video. Last year I was the stage guy, and I'm doing the stage thing again this year.
Okay.
So I'm seeing it. So
we're going to have another best beard contest?
I don't think there's going to be a beard contest this year.
Okay.
We did that at the indie event,
okay,
which is a little different of a crowd, a little bit bigger. Maybe, I don't know. People were receptive.
All right.
But I will be doing indie as well. Right now, this starts like, so last weekend was Wisconsin. This weekend is Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. Next weekend is St. Paul, Minnesota for the Car Craft, or for the formerly Car Craft, the Street mm-hmm. Machine Summer Nationals.
Oh, nice.
Which I'll be there too. And then after that, I think there's a weekend off that I was actually thinking about going to Chicago again, maybe for another game. And
no, right on.
To drive slower. And then after that is the Vegas for the SEMA Hall of Fame induction ceremony and banquet.
Right. You are emceeing that, right?
Yes. And I'm very fortunate to have that opportunity. That's going to be a fun one. And then the weekend after that is Bonneville.
Oh, man.
So it's hammer down.
It is, man. Summer of Kevin again.
Yeah, well, just trying to stay above it all.
Mary, right on. I love it.
And Kelly's coming to Bonneville.
Oh, cool.
This year, and she'll also be at the SEMA banquet. And I think St. Paul. And then a couple weeks go by, and then there's the Indy four-wheel jamboree, and then a couple of more truck shows in California and Arizona.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is our good friend Grady going out to Bonneville with you?
Absolutely.
Right on.
And they're saying that the salt is like the best it's been in forever.
Oh, fantastic. Now let's have it not rain.
Right. Yeah. They were saying they groomed it and they felt they probably didn't even need to. They could have just let it be and it'd be
sweet.
All right. Yeah.
Hopefully we get some records.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to see the Speed Demon go 500.
Yes.
Piston driven. But one crazy event at a time. This
yes,
weekend,
sir.
We want to see the mega trucks and have a lot of fun out in the mud.
Cool.
All right, man. Well, this was fun. This
yeah.
was a big show.
Big show. Right.
That's
on.
Right.
And, we put a bow on the GTO, so next time we can hear about more things, different things. More entertaining right. things.
Oh, it's always entertaining.
Uh-huh.
It was to me anyway. All right. Well, listen, we appreciate you tuning in to the V8 Radio podcast. If you dig this and you want more, hit the subscribe button or feel free to go back through the iTunes and Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, mm-hmm. or any of the other aggregators that share this show, Spotify and TuneIn Radio and
Player
Radio.
FM.
Player FM, where we are still the number one ranked muscle car podcast.
Love it.
And there's a whole bunch of episodes that you can go backwards. I think this is number 106 or 107, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. And you could relive the whole GTO story.
And who doesn't want to do that?
That's right. I'm just going to leave it right there. So, for Mr. Mike Cueball Clark, I'm Kevin Oste, reminding you to keep that hammer down and the shiny side up. And we will talk to you next time on VA Radio.